This call is being recorded.
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year. Father, Jesus, and HS give you their love, and I give you my peace. Let's open in prayer. Kind Father, we come before you, and we want to say thank you for arranging this day for us. It has been a long period of time since we've actually been able to get together as teens and to discuss what the future holds for us. We are excited, Father, about what this year will hold for us and all the things that you will share with us even tonight. And there are many cares and concerns that rest on the hearts of our teammates and their families. We pray, Father, that you will remove that from everybody right now in your name, that you will place that aside, that no one needs to worry about any concern or care. That, Father, we focus on your word and on the fellowship that we will share in right now, because this is a whole new team now. We will leave the past in the past, and you'll discuss that with us. And we will move forward confidently that we are the ones that you have chosen to help complete this task, which is my message. If you love us and you give us everything we need, we have nothing to worry about. Provide peace now. We thank you for everything. All three of you are now with us. We appreciate that HS will guide our conversation. We lay our concerns in your hands. If there's something we've forgotten, I know, Father, you'll take care of it. And as always, according to what we ask, and in your name we pray, please hear us. We love you. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I spoke to Father on Tuesday, and this is what he had to say. My dear team and spouses, Happy New Year to all of you. The past is in the past. Let us learn from what we experienced last year. Triland will now read the team watchword for 2019. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Many things have changed from last year to this year. As my son told you in an email, you seven are now the core that we will build the team upon. Some of you have been with Triland since the start, while others have added over the years. The fact that you remain faithful to me and him is what matters. Many of your hearts were heavy last year. Each meeting bore a little reprimand and chiding to move forward. I do not feel that that will be needed at this time. All of you know what is expected of you. Please fulfill my will. The team will go through a healing process. You have already been going through it as of November. Can you feel the peace? Can you feel the difference now? The team is more solidified than before. There is no dissension, no gossip or backbiting. There is a mutual respect. This is what my son and I have wanted since the team's inception almost 9 years ago. During those 9 years, 13 people left or removed. Is that not surprising? Pride and ego are to blame for the issues that ensued in the past. Please keep yourself in check. We do not want to remove anyone else. If you have a doubt or a question, please ask. Do not let it fester. This is when Satan steps in and complicates things. He will always try to create separation between you and Triland. You are wiser than he is. Do not fall prey to him. This year, 2019, will be filled with new things. More information about this team and its purpose. I will define more as the months progress. Please be prepared for changes. I'd like to speak on the issues within the congregations, the quality of the services as of late. Yes, the brothers are being instructed to hold the service as they were holding a seminar. This is not what I wanted. My children need to be fed fresh meat from my table. Instead, they are receiving processed and microwaved, per se, meat. All the nutrition is gone. This is why my children are starving. I am allowing this to happen to see who decides for a man.
Hey, Triland, I hate to interrupt, but we can't. You're breaking up really bad.
Am I? All right, hold on a second. move upstairs. Apparently my service down here is cruddy. I need to print off my notes. Hold on a second.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. No, thanks for letting me know. This is what I get for switching service with a new provider.
Well, you're no longer part of the V?
No. We went over to the S. They're a heck of a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
It might just be the phone and not even the service.
It's the, I barely have any bars down here.
I didn't know we could drink during the meeting. I got a bar right over there.
Well, you know, I don't know. It won't hurt you.
You got one of those little seat things that, like, takes you up the stairs like the old people got?
Yeah.
For Verizon, I had to buy a $200 booster antenna because we're in a desert. A tower went down or something, so we can't get any service now in our neighborhood. So. Yeah.
All right, let me move upstairs. Well, now I have one bar.
You need some, like, tinfoil rabbit ears or something?
I guess. I don't know.
I have almost all full. I'm just down one bar.
Okay.
Yeah, but your voice is more clear, so wherever you did, it's not warbling.
Yeah.
All right.
Can you read, like, the last paragraph, or
yeah,
bad. Sorry.
But I'll start here. All right, here we go. The team will go through a healing process. You have already been going through it as of November. Can you feel the peace? Can you feel the difference now? The team is more solidified than before. There is no dissension, no gossip or backbiting. There is a mutual respect. This is what my son and I have wanted since the team's inception almost 9 years ago. During those 9 years, 13 people left or removed. Is that not surprising? Pride and ego are to blame for the issues that ensued in the past. Please keep yourself in check. We do not want to remove anyone else. If you have a doubt or a question, please ask. Do not let it fester. This is when Satan steps in and complicates things. He will always try to create separation between you and Tryland. You are wiser than he is. Do not fall prey to him. This year, 2019, will be filled with new things. More information about this team and its purpose. I will define more as the months progress. Please be prepared for changes. I would like to speak on the issues within the congregation, the quality of the services as of late. Yes, the brothers are being instructed to hold the services as though they were holding a seminar. This is not what I wanted. My children need to be fed fresh meat from my table. Instead, they are receiving processed and microwaved, per se, meat. All the nutrition is gone. This is why my children are starving. I am allowing this to happen to see who will decide to follow me or a man. Please be patient. I will always place something in each divine service for you. You must seek it. And certainly, there is strength in the Holy Communion. Watch this year as other things with the church start to change, and not for the better. Please stay quiet when you are not within this circle. Does everyone understand what I am saying? I do not want any of you tearing into the brothers by gossiping and judging them. On many levels, the brothers are doing as they are told. So is it really their fault? No. It is the leader's fault for not allowing HS. I'm sorry. No, it's the leader's fault for not allowing HS to speak through them. Again, I have my reasons for allowing this. Please refrain and hold your comments. I will only allow this to take place for a short time. Then I will cause a change to take place that will shake the leaders to open their eyes and give them a chance to change who they will follow, me or the spirit of this world. I know that within your own personal relationships, it has been difficult at times. Misunderstandings, hurtful things were said out of anger and confusion filled your lives. Some of you even questioned if you were supposed to be together. This was all the work of Satan and his spirits. If he can cause any of you to fall, this changes my timeline. I wanted all of you to become stronger and build better relationships with each other through wiser communication. Always be on your guard. Trust your instincts. Take a breath before you speak. Weigh. Where is this coming from before you act? And please forgive each other, for I have forgiven you. And yes, all of you are meant to be together through all eternity. This is why I have chosen all of you. Relationships take effort. Giving up does not. Please try harder to accept each other's shortcomings. You have all been given a deep love for one another, and I would also like to say that I am proud of you for not giving up. I will give you a deeper understanding of each other's hearts. You are very special to me. The tasks and purpose I have created you for are not an easy road to walk on. Neither was it easy for Jesus, but he persevered and he never gave up. Yep, that is too what I expect from all of you. No pressure, haha. The difference between you and him is that you have each other to help one another. Can you now see that? Look back and remember all that you have done with my help to change many lives. This is the team's core purpose, to teach and change a soul's life for the better. Know that I am always with you and love and support you. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
It's pretty straightforward.
Yes. And you didn't hand us our hangies. I was excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of nice.
Anybody else?
I find it interesting. I was thinking about it this morning on who's left the core. And mm-hmm. It's interesting. I hate to say this, but we've gone through things closer together as a group than we've gone individually, if that makes sense. I know we've all been intertwined in each other's lives a lot. I'm having a trouble trying to verbalize over this last week my thoughts, but does that make sense? We're intertwined, mm-hmm. and not that the others weren't. I've talked to them many times. I've been friends with them since I was babies. But what's left is astoundingly tight. I think, well, not that I have to tell Father he did a good job, but I think
he loves
that
hearing
this
that.
Is, yeah, that we have a different opportunity. The energy is way different. I my chest mm-hmm. is not tight. I don't know. I even woke up this morning and you know, usually Sundays are traumatic because then there's the, oh, I got to get ready. But today I didn't have to, you know, but then I thought, oh, I got the conference and my chest got tight again. And I thought, well, wait a minute. No, that the antagonistic spirits and natures are not there. I love them. But you know what I mean? I think we have a better opportunity It's like when a coach has to cut people that are not what he wants. It's not that they weren't good. It's just, it's not what he needs now. And I think we have a really good opportunity, and I'm excited. I haven't been excited for a while, and I hate to admit it. It sucks. I mean, we're Guardians. We're so close to Father and to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And now I really think this is a new opportunity for us to where we can push our roots even deeper and then intertwine our hearts even closer. I liken it to how I hate to say this, it used to be with the brothers, and that, you know, you could sit down with the higher ministers and feel a warm in your heart, you know, and feel good. And I think that's how it's going to be now with this group and with this team, that we're going to be able to warm each other's hearts and get to know Father even better. You know, obviously we have some things we have to go through, which makes sense now while we have to be tighter, but I'm excited.
Good. And I think you're expressing what all of us are thinking and feeling too, because in the past, I too can admit that I was not super excited sometimes to hold this meeting, but today I was. And after taking Father's message and not receiving a reprimand in any way, and even Father acknowledging the fact that that's not needed, changes everything for all of us. And as he and I discussed, the core and how long, honestly, I didn't realize that it's been almost 9 years since the first person was added to the team, which was on November 13th, 2010. We've been having meetings for 7 years, but I thought it would also be interesting if I shared with you when your training date was. So for Tranquility, you started with me on January 15th, 2011. Trisis, you were June 18th, 2011. Quasar, you were December 6th, 2014. Atmos, you were February 14th, 2015. Nucleos, you were April 18th, 2015. Aquos, you were September 11th, 2018. And then Lightstream was November 16th, 2013. And then Starlight was restored May 7th, 2016. All of you have got history now. And Father and I discussed that sometimes, even this morning service was, I am the vine and ye are the branches. You have to prune away certain things so that the life can now be focused on the branches that are going to be healthy. And that's exactly what happened last year for us. I said in an email that I had conversations with the three of the teammates. I don't feel any of them hold any ill will. All three of them actually said to me that they're praying for the team and hoping that we can meet the tasks that Father spelled out for us. I'll be honest, I was very surprised, because those three are the only out of the 13 that ever communicated with me after they left the team. So that shows me a level of maturity and that they're moving on. I know I can feel in their hearts that they are much happier in their lives, where I feel that them as Guardians last year was a bit of a drudgery for them and they were miserable, but they didn't have the strength or the will to say to me, you know what, it's probably better if I just step down. And as we discussed in November, they were waiting for this to happen. So I also wanted to open up if anybody has any other questions at this time about the three teammates or anything else along that lines. Go ahead.
I think we will share that. You know, we had Christmas here, obviously, with Lindsay and her family, and Lindsay was a whole different person out of the 5 years that I've known her. She was completely different. I mean, she actually seems happy. She had a light about her that I haven't seen in a while, and she was actually very positive, where in the past she's always been extremely negative. So we could definitely tell a change. It's unfortunate that it had to come the way it did, but it like you said, it is what it is. It's part of the pruning. So I think they're happier.
Wonderful. Anybody else? All right, staying in the vine and the branches conversation. I know that all of us, most of us have probably been New Apostolic our whole life, where others have been a number of years. So you that have not been New Apostolic your whole life probably have not seen all of the drastic changes that have taken place, but you certainly have witnessed a lot of the changes that have taken place over the past 5 years. And I will tell you, in the morning service that we had in Holland, the minister spoke of how sometimes man takes two different plants and they graft it together so that it can grow a different kind of fruit. I will honestly tell you that the spirit of this world has grafted itself into the church because of what man is doing currently. And that's why we have what's currently going on. Father cautioned all of us that we should not badmouth or talk about the situations that are happening in the congregations because there isn't anything that we can do about it. I had a conversation with a teammate before the conference call about the changes that are taking place in one of the congregations that's literally removing a service during the month for the members so that they can help the Sunday school in some way. So he said to me that he'll probably be coming to a different congregation on that day so that they don't miss out, which is wonderful. And you have that option. If you feel that you're not being fed in the congregation that you're in, I do not have a problem with you going to a different congregation. I still need you to keep your eye on the congregation, though, to make sure that it's protected, because that's our responsibility. Does anybody have any questions about that? Okay. Over the past couple months, because of everything that took place in November with our three teammates, I feel that maybe our trust between each other or the bond that we used to have that strengthened all of us and we knew that we had a safe place may have been fractured. So over the past couple weeks or months, I should say, as Father said we were going through the healing process, I asked him if he would please bind all of our hearts together so that we will know that we can trust each other. And tonight's exercise will be a team building exercise where one of the spouses asked, you know, I don't know everybody on the team. Would it be possible if everybody could share a little bit about themselves? This includes the guardians and the spouses, and just whatever you want to share, whatever your job is, how long you've been doing it. If you have hobbies, if there's some things you really like doing, trips or things, share that kind of information. And then I thought we could go maybe a little farther to start building trust with one another, that if there's something that you're struggling with that you would like us to pray for you about, please feel free to share that, okay? I appreciate everyone's prayers and support for Starlight and her interview. I will not steal her thunder because it won't do any justice, so I asked Starlight if she would please share that with you, and then she will also then kick off the getting to know you better portion of the meeting tonight. So Starlight, please.
Hi, everyone. So on Friday morning, I had my interview, and it is with or was with a company. It's called Porter Hills, which is like a retirement community. However, it starts out where people who live in condos, and then it moves into, you know, apartments, to assisted living, to, you know, just depends on what type of health care that the people who live there need. So the position that I was applying for was very similar to what I do now. I'm a director for a child care center, which I run the whole entire program. And so this was kind of the flip of the coin of managing and leading a portion of one of their assisted care units, or two of the assisted care units. So throughout the week, and thank you everyone for your prayers, throughout the week I had, you know, spent time preparing myself. I had a phone interview, and then, you know, we set up another interview, a face-to-face interview, and I received an email which said to go to a certain building, buzz yourself in, and then the receptionist will get the person that you need. So I prepared myself for the interview. I had, you know, grounded myself. I plugged my team in. I asked Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit to be there. And then throughout the week, I'd been asking, because I know sometimes that energy and my entourage that I bring with can be a bit overwhelming. So I'd been asking Father to give some of my energy to this person, like to kind of sprinkle it on them so they could feel my energy and not be overwhelmed or trying, you know, just trying to figure out what was happening. So I did the bind and sweep on the place and had everything grounded. And so on my way to the interview, everything seems great. And I get there and I show up probably at least 5 minutes early, if not a little bit more. I go in, buzz in, I tell the receptionist, you know, that I was here. I was here to see, you know, a specific person. And she says, okay, hold on a second. You can have a seat. So I sit down and I see her dialing these numbers and no answer. And then dial another number, no answer. And then I thought she was talking to her, but she had told the person, I don't know if she just was like on an intercom or something in the person's office. And so, and told this Ashley person that I was there. So now it's, you know, just, it's 9 o'clock. So I'm sitting there waiting. And then probably about 10 after, the woman just looks over at me and says, she hasn't come down yet. And I said, no. So she says, okay, well, let me try some other numbers. So then she, you know, is contacting, you know, calling a few more numbers, finally gets through to her. So now it's about 9:15. And so she lets her know that I'm here. So now about between 9:20 and 9:25, the person finally comes out to get me. And I'm thinking, well, if she didn't get a hold of this person until 9:15, then this person probably thinks I'm late because my interview was supposed to be at 9. Okay. So now I have to back up a second. So while I'm sitting there waiting, I am completely calm. I am, you know, I'm excited about the interview. You know, I have my team. I'm just, for whatever reason, I'm just sitting there. I'm kind of looking around, checking it out, feeling the energy, just looking around. And then all of a sudden, I get this huge, like, dizziness that sweeps over me. And it was like the whole room, like, shifted. And then as soon as that happened, all of a sudden, I got the worst nauseous feeling, like I was about to throw up, like I'm looking for a trash can. Mind you, I'm sitting there while all this is happening. I'm trying to be composed because I'm like, this lady can come out of nowhere. I don't even know where her office is. So I'm like, okay, Lauren, breathe, ground your stomach. You're fine. What's happening here? Why? What's going on? Well, then I'm like, I just keep on looking around because I'm like, something is not right. Something isn't right. And so now my mouth is so dry that I can't even hardly talk. And I'm thinking, well, great. How am I going to speak to this person? I feel like I'm going to throw up and I can't talk because my mouth is so dry. This is perfect. So then the woman, the receptionist, you know, does the other phone call and then the woman comes. So I'm holding it together. No one knows this is happening. I'm almost like panicking, you know, on the inside, and I can't figure out what's going on. I'm like, I have felt this feeling before, but I don't know. Maybe I'm getting the stomach flu because that was going around work. I'm like, this is perfect. It's hitting me now, you know. And so I go in, and I sit down with a woman, and she just seems very awkward. Like, she can hardly talk to me, kind of shakes my hand, and she has my resume, and she has a sheet of questions. And she's just firing off question after question, just writing them down, not really, you know, taking so much of an interest in what I'm saying. But I'm still feeling like I'm going to throw up. And while I'm talking to her, I'm trying, you know, I'm smiling and talking and I'm like surveying, like, what is going on here? This is not right. I don't understand. Looking for a trash can in case I have to make a jump for it. And she's still like, I tried, you know, making light of a situation, talking with her, trying to get her, you know, she just could have cared that. I don't know if she thought I was late and was just already writing me off, or if maybe I almost got the impression at times that she was busy doing something else and I was interrupting her. And so the interview maybe lasted 15 minutes. And towards the end of the interview, she's asking me if I have any questions. And I ask her a couple questions. And, you know, and she just, at one point I asked her about the pay and she, I don't know, I think it might be this much, but you want to talk to human resources about it. And I'm like, okay. And then I, you know, and as I'm, she's like, okay, well, we're done here then. You know, just ready to, she was like, just, she couldn't get out of that room fast enough. And I'm just like, I couldn't figure out and what was going on. I'm like, I just don't get it. So I finish, as I'm putting on my jacket, I say to her, I said, okay, so do you have other interviews? Like, what is the next step here? You know, oh yeah. She says, well, I have a couple other interviews to finish up and then we'll give you a call and we'll set up a second interview so you can meet with some other people. Okay, it was nice to meet you. So I walk out and I mean, I was like, I couldn't get out of there fast enough. And I get to my car and I'm just sitting there and I call Triland and I talk to him for a second. And I said, I'm really confused on what happened. Like I'm just, my body feels really weird. I don't know how to describe it. I don't think I'm necessarily getting sick, but this just wasn't normal. And so he really didn't have much to say about the situation. You know, he thought, well, you know, maybe that, you know, she was busy or who knows. So I said, you know what, that's fine. You know, we're just going to leave it in Father's hands. Whatever happens, happens. You know, it's at this point, as far as the jobs and the interview, Father's got it. He knows what's going to happen. So I hang up with him and I'm driving down the road and I'm just, I have, you know, 45 minutes till I get to my work. And like, I just keep on reeling about what happened. How come this whole thing all of a sudden just like shifted and I'm nauseated and I know I'm not sick. And when I got out of there, I could breathe a little bit better and I could feel a little bit more. And then all of a sudden, wham, it's like I hit upside the head. I realized that what I was feeling and when it was shifting, when the room was shifting like that, it was souls. I was feeling souls that were trapped there. And that it was, and then the reason that I was so nauseated and just like panicked, almost like you can't breathe and, you know, mouth dry is because one, I was feeling all their energy, the souls that were trapped there and I'm feeling all their emotions, but then there were demons that were binding them there as well. So that's why I was like, I was just really just, I don't want to say like almost inside losing it, but nobody knew what was going on the outside. I was completely calm, cool, composed, carrying on conversations with people, but yet still looking around and trying to assess the situation. So in that moment, I ended up sending a team to liberate them and kill all of the demons and things that were attached to them. And it put a completely different perspective on the interview and what was happening. And I had sent Triland a couple texts, you know, explaining, hey, this is what I think was going on. And, you know, and so we had confirmation that, you know, that's what was happening. So still, I leave the whole situation in Father's hands. And as the day goes on, I'm trying to, you know, just kind of shake what happens. Because now at this point, by the time I'm to work, I still am getting waves of nausea. And, oh, by the way, and I was taking a prescription medication, so I wasn't sure if I was having a reaction to that as well. So I'm back at work, and now I'm still having the waves of nausea. Now I feel like I've been beat up and put through the war. And that, I can't breathe. Like, I feel like there's, like, this elephant sitting on my chest. And I'm like, I don't understand. Like, I'm just like looking at my space, can't see anything. So Trail and I were talking. So he stepped into my space and one of the demons had during that time when I got really nauseous and my mouth started watering and all of that, a demon had stepped into my space. And that's why I was almost like in this panicked state because something evil was in my space. So he kills it, removes it. And so I continue on with the rest of the day. And I still, like, I'm so weak and I just can't shake this. I don't understand, you know, what's going on. And so now I'm driving home from work And I'm still, you know, thinking, and I'm not, and I'm, when I'm thinking about the interview, I'm not thinking about the job part of it per se, because that's just not, I don't even worry about it. It's Father will make it happen if it's supposed to. But I just, the whole situation, I was just perplexed by it. And I said to Father, you know, I said, I feel horrible right now. I said, but that's okay. I said, because today was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And I'm completely, completely humbled that you put me into that situation and you wanted me to be your tool and your instrument to be able to help these souls. I said, so no matter what, I don't really care. I mean, I do care, but I don't care about the interview. And thank you. Thank you. I mean, this was just, it was amazing. Something that I thought was going to be was nothing what it ended up being. So then Q had sent me a text and he had asked me, you know, how the interview went. And I just said, well, it was interesting. And then I had talked to him for a little while on the phone. And it was truly amazing, the experience. And I know that I have changed a lot, even from a month ago, because a month ago I wouldn't have seen the bigger picture. And I'm so thankful that Father gave me the eyes and the discernment to be able to see what was actually happening, and that when he sends us into certain situations, it's not always what we think it's going to be, and that how he says be on guard. Be on guard. It makes so much sense with that situation that I was put in. In that moment, did I necessarily know what was happening? Absolutely not. But I knew that one, something wasn't right, and two, I felt this before. And I was reeling through my brain trying to figure out, what have I felt? How do I know this? What's going on? And in the end of it, Father has it all, and it's just it. The interview, I mean, I walked in the door. Well, hold on one second. I have to go back. So I get off the phone with Q, and I'm driving down the road, almost home, and I still feel like I can't breathe. And I says, I know that there's something in my space, and I know that I'm being tormented because all of these souls were liberated, and I destroyed, or my team destroyed, the demons. So I do know that I'm being tormented, and I've been being tormented all day. And I said, that's fine. I said, you know, I can handle it. Father's given me the strength, and that's great. But just know that if whatever's in my space, you choose not to leave, I'm driving home to my husband, who's Triland, and he's going to kill you. So either leave now or you're going to die anyway. So I get
that's
home,
funny.
And hands up.
That's funny.
I was like, no, you choose however you want it to happen. So I get home and I look at him and I was like, can you please come here and just pog me, just pog every ounce of inch of me. And the torment actually continued throughout the weekend. And I mean, we were walking through Myers and all of a sudden it's like, wham, something's near me or in my space and I can't breathe. And he's looking at me because I'm already surveying, you know, and I let him know in the grocery store. I says, that's fine. Keep on following me. I says, because I'm going to turn around and I'm going to kill you all and I'm going to pog you. I said, so you can either leave now or, you know, you will be destroyed. I am done. And so it is lessened, but I'm so thankful for the situation, and it wasn't anything of what I ever expected. So how was the interview? The interview, hey, that was a little wild and crazy, and we'll see what happens with, you know, as far as free will, and if Father wants it to happen, he'll put me where he wants me to. But it is amazing that, you know, that the way that he orchestrated everything to happen to be able to help those souls and free those souls. So how was the interview? It was amazing, and it was fantastic. So I think I got it all. Is that how this, mm-hmm. all of it, any of all the details yeah. there?
Yeah.
So does anybody have any questions or anything about that?
No questions.
Oops, sorry.
Well,
go ahead, Q.
Well, when we were talking, I
it came to us that this is a job interview to do a job, and it's important. There's no human beings, however, look at it as almost all important. But what she was able to do for those souls in eternity, we can't even fathom the importance of that. And a job, it doesn't even come close. And I was saying that I'm proud of you. And she said, well, yeah, but I said, no, because we have to make progress for sure. We have to be able to see the way things really are. And she didn't get down about it, wasn't upset about it. She was just saying, that was really cool. And that is huge.
True. That's true, because a month ago, I probably would have been spitting nails. So I'm in awe. I'm humbled and in awe that this situation happened. And it definitely opened my eyes to be on guard and to, you know, at any moment, Father can have us doing anything and helping anyone. And that's what really stuck with me through that situation. So, anyone else?
I was just going to say that my daughter-in-law, Jen, she works in intensive care in a hospital. And there are many times where she will come home and there have been souls that have been attached to her. My son Matthew will text me and say something's off with Jen. There's something not quite right. So when you were telling me that it was a home where there were seniors, that was the first impression that I got, was that mm-hmm. it was probably souls that were attaching themselves to you. Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just want to we look at things one dimension. We discussed in previous meetings that I said you need to look at things three dimensions, because we don't just in this world. And for sure, how does it stand?
Your phone is cutting way out.
For meeting. Pardon?
I couldn't hear anything that you were saying. It was cutting out like every other word.
All right. Let me move my phone. Better. Okay, let me start over. When Father sends us to go do something, or as you saw with Starlight, we thought that this was just going to be an interview, but it's never just that simple. And we can't just look at the worldly part of our life. We need to understand that the reason why Father created all of us was to help mankind and eternity. So I wasn't surprised when this whole thing turned into something deeper and had more of a meaning. And I was very proud of Starlight because she figured the whole thing out, because even in your training, I say to you, we're like detectives. Father's not going to hand us the answers to the situation, but he has given us the gifts to discern and figure things out. And ultimately, she understood why this was happening, and then also understands that if this isn't the job that you pan out for her, Father certainly has something else. So well done doing your job. Anybody else have anything they'd like to add?
There's a bonus in your paycheck this month, Starlight.
Two bobbleheads.
You're making Jesus nervous. All right, Starlight, if you could share a little bit about yourself with everybody.
Sure. So, I was saying before, I work for a daycare center. It's KinderCare. And I have been with KinderCare for 10 years. And I'm looking to actually make a change. I've been looking for a different job for over a year now. And I know the right one will come along when the time is right. And so in my free time and my hobbies are applying for jobs. But when I'm not looking for a job, I'm a nerd at heart, I guess. I love to investigate things and ask the why questions. My Trilin can testify to that, because I'm always asking, well, why this, why that? So I'm always Googling, researching, figuring out things. Like that's the way I decompress. If I'm not doing that, then always, you know, I'm going to some kind of sporting event or something with Ethan. And he's a freshman in high school, 14 years old, time flies. And with my new job search, I have no idea what I want to do. I just know it's not going to be, or I can't say, no, it's not going to be. At this moment, I would prefer it not to be in education just because of the way that things are changing. And we'll just see what Father has in store. Anybody have any questions for me that I'm not answering?
Okay. Thank you. I will go next, and then I'll give you a heads up. I'm going to ask Tranquility, and if Tom also would like to share, and then Trisis, and then Q and Cindy. I like quiet walks on the beach. I'm not afraid to cry, and I like to be held. I have been in purchasing for 30 years, and I guess on a personal note, I would like to thank everybody for your prayers last year for my knee surgery and my foot surgery. And I said to Father, I think I'm done with surgeries. It would be nice to just be healthy for a span of time. I will share this with you. I foolishly cut off the side of my finger Thursday while I was making dinner. So I'm dealing with that now. And when I went to work on Friday, my boss just shook his head and looked at me funny and made a comment. But anyway,
you spiked your fingers, so you cut it off?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, the carrot was in the way. I wasn't paying attention, and there it went. So the tip is gone. The side of it is. But anyway, on a personal note, I would like to ask everyone if you would please remember me. One of the things I struggle with is loving mankind as Father loves mankind, because I am trying to see them as he sees them, and it's not so simple for me. And you would think that that should be because I'm his son, but I'm incredibly human, as you all are aware of that. So I would ask if you would be kind enough to remember me on that level so that I can be a better example in that area. So thank you, everybody. Tranquility.
Okay, so I'm actually a teacher, and I teach children with autism. I've been teaching for, well, over 25 years now, and it's always been with children that have special needs. My career first started out teaching children with learning disabilities, and after that, I started teaching children with autism, and I just found that was my niche, where I felt most comfortable and where I was able to make a big difference. And I am an older dinosaur right now, so I have exciting news in that I will actually be retiring at the end of this school year. And Tom and I have bought a house in Cambridge, which is close to Kitchener, maybe a half an hour from Kitchener. And so we will be relocating there. The cost of housing is significantly less there, so for us it would be... it'll be a blessing. But I do love children. I always have. My lifelong dream was to be a teacher, and our Heavenly Father blessed me richly in that respect. I want to thank you all for your love and your support for Tom. Unfortunately, he's not on the call. He has significant pain today. And we have noticed that a lot of the pain is linked to Satan and his cohorts. Quite often there's no physical reason for him to have the pain, but it is significant. It's very hard to describe, but Tom is so in tune with himself now that he can tell the difference between when it's physical and when he's actually being attacked. And through your kind thoughts and your prayers, he has really made a dramatic improvement. When we first met Tryland, Tom wasn't even able to walk. He was writhing on the floor and screaming in pain and often not able to even speak. And it's funny, Tryland, because I had a flashback today of the first time that Tryland came, and he came with Kathy Henderson. We knew each other from the Toronto district when she was living in Canada. And she came, and Tryland started speaking with us, and he said, I think I can I can help Tom. And by the end of the evening, Tom was talking and he was sitting upright and he was guzzling water like there was no tomorrow. I don't know if you remember that trial, but it was so funny. Yeah. He just kept drinking and drinking and drinking. And so for us, that was the start of something wonderful. And it was at that time when I really knew that there was something special about Tri-Land. And when he told me, I guess maybe it was, I don't know if it was a year later or maybe a couple of years later, when he said to me, I want to tell you something. And I already knew what he was going to say. And he said, I am the second son of God. And I just kind of said, I know, I had a feeling. So we've had a wonderful friendship, even though we're so many miles away. We're very much connected. There's times where I can feel something's not right with him, times he can feel something's not right with me. And so I really treasure our friendship. And to those that are new to the team, I can only say, it's not always smooth sailing, but the gifts that we have and the doors that will open and the opportunities like Starlight just had that wonderful opportunity. That's something that money can never buy and that you will never be able to explain to anybody, but just hold tight to it and just hang on. It's a wonderful ride. It's a little bit scary at times, but the fact that we have everybody together and we all understand each other, it's so worth it. And if I would have a wish, it would be if you could please continue to pray for Tom in your daily prayers. Because while he is significantly better, he's also he still struggles a lot. So if you would continue to pray for him, I would be most grateful.
Please give him the team's love.
I will. Thank you. I definitely will.
Thank you. Places.
Hello. Hello, my name is John. I'm a guardian. It feels like an AA meeting.
Oh. You're a little rascal. That's what
hello,
you are.
Hello, John.
Yeah. Hello, John. Yeah. So first off, I have had a varied background in lifestyles of being in relationships and jobs. Father finally let me settle down in 2008, with a big payroll company, ADP. I did customer service my entire life. I thought about it. I've always done customer service in some sort. Retail was my major money source. I had a small business with one of my wives and her family. I did preschool photography, and I've been doing photography up until about last year. But my main income comes from sitting at a desk trying to figure out why different tax agencies are sending giant invoices to my customers. There was a major shakeup at our company. The company decided to offer retirement early, and of the thousands of people that it was offered to, they figured 2 or 3% would take it, and almost 75% of the people took it. We lost hundreds, if not thousands, of very educated, very knowledgeable people across the board, which now makes me one of the most tenured people at 5 years with a company that's more than 90 years old. So I'm lucky. Father, even with my handicap and where I was, I still stayed valuable. He has engineered a wonderful position for me. I'm now with a team based out of Florida, the same building where Sam, my brother-in-law, works. They know him. He knows them. My goal is to get to the office now in my wheelchair, but my new boss and the team are faithful Christians. They had admitted that they pray every morning. It's a thing at the actual site where there's like 20 or 30 people. So it's wonderful. There's never been a problem with me not working, but Father's worked it out to where I can still do my job mostly. I can admit I'm handicapped. I know that everybody's like, well, duh. But with being in a wheelchair, Father is ringing my bell in my head saying, you're handicapped. You have to accept that. And I finally am. I can say that and not be, oh, well, I'm going to get better. Because how long we I've been promised that I'm going to get better. Just like Jesus is coming soon and Trilin was getting the woman of his dreams soon. I will be healed soon, right? So I finally accepted I'm handicapped. And I have a wonderful family. I have a great opportunity at work. My career, who knows how long I'll be able to do it. I'm on a great long-term disability program with benefits from the company. My boss and management are very fine with me working what I can. If I have to leave early, they're fine with it. Because the way Father allowed me to work, I look wonderful. I shine every day, every week. I can't really point to anything. I'm like, well, that's because I'm this or I've done that. It's all him. Honestly, I mean, there's no reason for them to look at my numbers and go, wow, look how much work you're doing. So yeah. I feel very blessed. The opportunities that I have for the future, I don't know. I really want to do more, but I'm realizing that I'm only able to do so much. And I'm going to focus on what I can do spiritually and try to really focus on that. So, I'm excited. I haven't been excited in a very long time. I have to tell you, I'm hopeful through talking to everyone on the team. I've never felt like there's no hope. And even in personal conversations, when I've tried to help someone, there's always been the help that's come back to me. So I'm looking forward personally and spiritually. But as a side note, the Discapostle was down in St. Pete. We were able to listen to the service. All the apostles and bishops were at a national meeting. They figured they'd hold it in Florida where there was no snow so they could actually get there and get the meeting done. So they had a service. And then Apostle Heck is retiring. Chief Apostle will be in, I guess, North Carolina to retire him. So the new apostle will be ordained. So they had a nice going away for him. And the comments and all that, like you would hear at a retirement. And then the Discapostle made a comment that he was so happy to hear the peace and to feel the peace in the congregation that it's unusual in the churches nowadays to feel the calm and the peace. And he really felt that there, and that he thanked everyone for that. And also for their amens. And it was hard to hear over the phone, you know, garbled it gets, but apparently the amens and the fervor of what after every prayer and minister was intense. It was wonderful. So this apostle commented on that. So thank you for everybody for your support.
You're welcome. Thank you. Cindy?
You want to go first, Cindy? Yeah, can you hear us?
We can.
Okay.
Ladies first.
All right. I'd like to say a happy new year to everyone. We are doing okay over here. We both have very physical jobs, so our aging bodies are letting us know. And we are very thankful for our journey we have had with the team, with Trilin. It has been the focus of our life to try to love all the souls and to also try to spread the love of Jesus and our Heavenly Father. I work at Hope College in catering, and I have been so blessed by Father's wonderful love that I have been allowed some special privilege jobs and allowed to talk about my faith and just share the brightness that our Heavenly Father can place in us. So we are very thankful for the progress we have made. We've been back in Holland now for 2.5 years, time flies, and we are very pleased with our congregation and all that is going on in our life.
Thanks. So
hold on a second. Hang on. The next group that's going to be up after Q is going to be Amos and carrying on.
We're having a hard time hearing you again, Charlie. Could you start that over again?
Sorry. All right. So after Q is going to be Atmos and Danielle, and then Nucleos and Lauren, and then Aquos and Helen. Go ahead, Q.
Okay. So I do have an email from Derek and Lauren, so I will be able to read that
at that time. All right.
So a more comprehensive overview. I was in pharmaceutical sales for almost 30 years. We moved all over the country. We lived in Chicago. We lived in Detroit. We lived in Kansas City. And in that time period, we moved a lot, had our children, were involved in the church every step of the way, as Sunday school teachers, youth leaders. I've been a priest since 1995. And at this point in time, well, we had about a 5 to 7 year period after pharmaceutical sales where things were tenuous for a while, but Father was always there and we did not lose significantly, but we grew significantly spiritually because he took us to a level where we actually had to wake up more and seek him, and we did, and wow, what a difference. Money isn't everything, that's for sure. But where we are now, I have a business that is, we do mold remediation, and it is a good business. We can do well, it's a necessity, and it's actually amazingly we're able to talk about our faith in almost every single situation because the people that we deal with are open and they feel comfortable with us and we talk spiritually. It's like Father brings me into a home to get rid of the mold, but we're also there to get rid of the ugly and to talk about him. So it's kind of cool. And we have 3 children. We're happy. We have 5 children. What am I saying? We have 5 children, 3 of ours and 2 additions to as spouses. And that's good. Thanks, guys. Oh, wish. Business owning is difficult. Pray that I have the wisdom that I need to do what Father wants me to do so that we can continue to sustain. Thank you.
Thank you. Atmos, Danielle.
Bear with us here. We're getting Jeremiah ready for bed. He's a little tuckered. My name's Jeremy. I've been working for Whirlpool Corporation in Benton Harbor, Michigan, for about 7 years now. It's been a great job. Looking for a new job inside the company here for probably the last 6 months or more. Right now I work in the service area of the corporation, and I help manage our fleet. We have about 150 vehicles throughout the country that I help manage. Take care of some of the internal technology things. Not too interesting, to be quite honest with you. That's the reason I'm looking for a new job. I have been New Apostolic for 4 years? Still fairly new. I met my wife, Danielle, 2013. We met over Christian Mingle. So that's kind of an interesting thing, I guess. Kind of the way of the world, it seems like these days. We met in person, and we both kind of knew that we were the one for each other, and that's exactly how it ended up. So that also is interesting. I enjoy fishing, hunting. I enjoy shooting, so much so that we planned our home around it. We bought a place out in the country where we could have a
a shooting range out back, and that's what we do in some of our spare time. Is when we have it, we manage to get out there and do a little bit of plinking. Let's see. I also enjoy learning new things, constantly learning new stuff, learning how to sew. I've taught myself how to sew. Got an old sewing machine downstairs that my grandmother gave me that I use quite a bit, and it's a lot of fun. And I've got a forge out in my shed, so I've been tinkering around with some blacksmith work too. So that's slowed down a lot. But
you gonna make us all swords?
I can. I'll all probably right. need time off of work to do that. That'll take a long time. But yeah, we're raising a 2.5-year-old with twins on the way, due in the middle of March. We're super excited about that and also very scared at the same time. We know the reason we're scared is because we know it comes with a lot of work. The first one was a lot of work, and we know these two are going to be even more so. So, we enjoy where we live. It's kind of out in the country. It's kind of same setting that I grew up in, Southwest Michigan, and kind of fruit country, out on the farms and all that good stuff. So we're hoping it's a great place for the kids to grow up and experience life on the farm in some way, shape, or form, because we feel that it's good for the kids to have that fresh air, be outside, and understand the responsibility of owning animals and learn about that responsibility as they grow up. So I will hand things over to my beautiful wife.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Danielle.
Hi.
I have been a dental assistant for 5 years. I love the movie Dirty Dancing. It's my favorite movie. I love ice cream. I also love to watch Dr. Pimple Popper because I just think she's cool. I'm weird like that. I enjoy cleaning my house. That is how I, zone out and my zen. I decompress myself by cleaning and doing laundry. Let's see. I was a city girl. Moved to the country with a husband. We have chickens. I'm fun. I'm outgoing. I laugh a lot. That's pretty much about it.
All right. Hugh's going to read Nukes and Lauren's letter because he celebrated his birthday yesterday, and they took the train to Chicago, and they're on their way back, currently on the train. So, Hugh, please.
Okay, so I can read this. I probably will, but I'll start for them. It was nice that they wanted to come to Holland, where we are part of the congregation, and they were there. And I'm certain that Father was pulling them toward Wyoming because it just seemed that was what needed to take place. We moved from Wyoming, or the Wyoming congregation, and you could just see that. I could see it in Nuke that he was thinking that I need to be there. You know, I mean, he wasn't necessarily saying it, but I know. I mean, you could just kind of see that it was there because we're guardians. Congregations benefit and are blessed, and we are there to help. And when you look at the big picture, Cindy was upset because I want to have my kids with me. But when we look at the big picture, it's a blessing that they are there. And they are loved there. They are fitting in beautifully. They were just asked to be the youth leaders. And they already have been doing the jobs by mentoring the young people, and they're what Wyoming needs for the young people especially, but they're fitting in really nicely. And musically, Wyoming does really well, and Derek has been involved with that, and I think they're both singing in the choir now. I'm pretty sure they're both singing in the choir now, so that's nice. So now I'll read what they wrote because it talks about their specific things. So currently Derek works in maintenance. He's a maintenance technician for the apartment complex the condo facility, the whole management company. And he moved to that job because they treat people better. And that's really nice and noble. And he's doing well with that. He's also a freelance musician in Grand Rapids. He's been able to play at some in some orchestras and some high school musicals and other things around Grand Rapids and Muskegon and Holland area. And his hobbies are home projects. And he works in maintenance, nice. He's learning a lot of really cool things. Exercise. He actually repairs musical instruments and also builds horns. And that's ideally what he would like to do as a business down the road. Wait and see. He also has the opportunity. Yes? I didn't hear that again.
I think you're just hearing reverb from yourself there, Q.
Okay, I apologize. Okay, so he has an opportunity. I think that he has a job interview coming up at Meyer Music as an instrument repair technician, and it's a position that would really be nice and it'd be right up his alley. So remember him with that. Lauren is an assistant to the operations director or the director of operations who takes care of the facilities management and operations for all of the Spectrum Health hospitals. It's a really cool position. She explained it to us when she was interviewing for it. And so she basically organizes all of the operations for this department. And it's setting up luncheons and different meetings and that, and making sure the contracts are all taken care of for all the maintenance things that need to be taken care of. But it's right up her alley because she is she's driven, she likes attention to detail and organizing and putting things together like that, and she does a great job. Other things that she likes, she just likes organizing in general. It's a big part of her life. We've had her over here to help us organize, and it's really nice. Oh, by the way, Lauren, you will be pleased with Mom's pantry. She redid it. It's really cool. She likes helping others to get organized as well, and she likes the event planning and, in general, in life, organization. Something to pray for, success with furthering her career so that she's able to support her family. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Aquos and Helen?
I'm going to let my lovely wife go first because she's better at this.
Hi, everyone. I'm Helen. A little bit about what I do. I've been working in Ontario Public Service for 3.5 years. So that's the provincial government here in our province. And I've been working in human resources. I'm not permanent. I am on contract, but I'm thankful that I've been able to stay in the same with the same employer for 3.5 years. Outside of work, I enjoy spending time with family. I love cooking and baking for my loved ones. I love dogs, and similarly to Danielle, I also find peace in cleaning. That's about it. And if you could please pray for me for my career, because there are some changes happening right now with where I am. So right now it's a little bit uncertain. I should be okay, but I may have to have some interviews in the near future. So if you could keep me in your thoughts, that would be greatly appreciated.
We sure can.
Sure.
Hello, my name's Andrew. I am New Apostolic and I'm from Canada. And I like eating my wife's cooking and baking. I work for Honda Canada. So I work for Honda's national office up here. I originally started looking after all the facilities and dealerships in the country. I managed all the projects. And now I am on the Honda side. I'm what you call a market planner. I look after three of the vehicles, our minivan, our pickup truck, and our CRV. I look after ordering them, which dealerships they get to go to, And then if you ever see on a commercial, get 1% off or get $750 off, that's my job for all of the cars that I look after in the market for Canada. So if you want to buy a car in Canada, I can let you know when there'll be a good deal, but I can't do it in the States. I've been, church has been my life. My life has been church and my lovely wife. I started, was raised by two great parents and had grandparents that looked after me as well. Started in with the organ, then became a deacon, and then a priest and a rector. I've been a youth leader for probably about 10 years, but I most recently took a six-month leave of absence and for my ministry, and I've been experiencing some of the politics that unfortunately are in the church. There's a saying that God's work is a perfect work, but his workers are not. And but that doesn't mean that we have to stop. So I will be back active in ministry officially on February the 3rd. And if I can very quickly say how it happened, leading up to the end of last month, I didn't know if I was going to come back. And I was happy with, I don't want to say happy. I was almost okay with not being back because I saw a lot of people's true colors, and quite a few tried to take advantage of me. And then when I wasn't useful, then I was almost shunned in certain ways. It was actually really interesting and nice to, Trace, as you mentioned about the district apostle Kolb, on the 29th of December, my grandfather celebrated his 85th birthday, and they had a birthday party for him, and actually it was the district apostle Kolb that came up and surprised as one of the guests. And he came over to me afterwards, and for those of you who know my grandparents, they are typical Germans who, if they're upset with something, you're going to know about it. And my grandfather decided to tell District Apostle Kolb everything that was going on. And he came over to me afterwards, the District Apostle, and he said that he was very sorry for what I was going through and that he would be praying for me. And then he said that the Lord needs me. And that hit me a little bit. And the fact that he would say that was very, very nice. Following day, there was a birthday service with the District Apostle Wool and the Apostle Zur in my grandfather's home congregation. And after the service, it was set up that I would talk with the Apostle Zur, who was my apostle. And during that service, I was all different emotions. I was angry. I was upset. I was hurt because there were some people face to face that I was seeing behind the altar that kind of let me down, if I can put it that way. But there was one priest who served, and about, you know, battling through certain things. And the district apostle came up afterwards, and he spoke of a priest or a shepherd that was from the Kitchener district, and was maybe early 50s, and he was told he had terminal brain or throat cancer.
Throat.
And, you know, it would be his last summer. And that summer, the chief apostle was in Vancouver, British Columbia, which is just north of Seattle. And he decided to make the trip out, this priest. He had kids that were, you know, young teenagers. And he asked the district apostle, you know, can you just ask if it's not too much for the chief apostle to pray for me, just to remember me and my family. And the district apostle said to himself, I'm going to do one better. And he asked the chief apostle if he could pray with him. So the chief apostle met this priest in the chief apostle's hotel room. And this priest told him the whole story about his family and everything. And the chief apostle's response was, rather than, you know, saying, "Oh, I'm sorry and woe is me," he said, "My dear priest," he says, "you have an opportunity here." He said, "Now is your time to shine. After all our Heavenly Father has allowed in your life and all that he has put in front of you, now is your time to shine, whether it be in life or whether it be in death. Now is your time to shine." And he takes that, they pray, and he takes that to heart. He goes back, and very, very long story short, the doctor said that, you know, we can try radiation to just let it go on a little bit longer, but nothing's going to happen. Well, radiation chemo happened, and the tumor shrinks, and they said, well, we can try surgery, and but there is no promises. It's very, very, very low chances. Well, they operate on him, and he's been cancer-free for the last, I think, 3 years now. And that hit me in service. And I said to the apostle afterwards, when we talked, I said, you know, I've really been mistreated. And there's people who I thought were my mentors, and I saw the man rather than the minister on this time off. I said, but I think our Heavenly Father is saying, now's my time to shine, because there's others who have faced the same type of thing and they're still struggling. And I said, I don't want to shine and show off. I just want to shine to show that others that they can do it. So that is what happened with me. And if you could please remember me going back into ministry, because as we heard, what is going to happen with the church, coming back, I'm going to be faced with a lot of that. And a lot of the ministers who let me down, but I'm working on seeing past the man and seeing the ministry to be able to keep going. So that's all I got. Sorry for the long-winded response.
You're fine. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for participating. The last thing I wanted to discuss, was speaking with Q and Lightstar. They asked if anybody else, I'm sorry, Starlight, if anybody is still doing the subconscious shield. Does everybody understand what that was? Or are you still using that?
What, across the back of our head?
Yeah.
I do it when I go. I don't protect my subconscious, but I have probably 2 or 3 times over the last 2 years had to go in there and nuke the place, for lack of a better term, and clean it out, because I knew that it was rough. And I put standing orders in place with my team to, if I don't remember to protect it, to help make that happen. Well, other than that, okay. That's all I got. You can't.
Anybody else?
I have mine in place. In the subconscious. And since then, I don't have as many nightmares or weird dreams. And if I do have a dream that's strange, I can remember it and see the purpose of it, rather than just being scared crapless, so okay. To speak. You know, I mean, because most of the time, before that, I would have such horrible dreams that I didn't want to remember them. I didn't want to be part of it, and I would make sure I didn't remember it. So since that time when we had heard about that, it's been in place, and I've had a more peaceful rest and time that I can actually rest. So what's your recommendation? Yay or nay?
No, just I was just using it as a reminder, because I don't. But Starlight does, and so does Q, and we were discussing it, and I said I'd just bring it up in a meeting and see if anybody else is still doing it.
This is Starlight. What I have in place is kind of it's like a screen, as sort of a filter to keep anything from, you know, going in or out. And then that's always in place. And then I know that sometimes if I feel like I'm going to be around a certain situation or, you know, when I'm sleeping or whatnot, certain times I will, I'll cover it completely, but I don't normally do that. It's normally just a screen. And then it's, I access it through like where my library is, it's down at the end of the hall, and I kind of pull back the walls a little bit and I'll step in. And I usually go in when I'm giving myself a healing, or if I feel like I need to clean it out, I go in and just sort of clean out the cobwebs and clean out whatever's in there, and then continue on.
Just one detail quickly. I know that Danielle had no idea that she was supposed to be doing that. I don't even know that she knew that she could do it because it was just a team thing. Sure. So to be honest, I never passed it on. So this is news to her. I'm sure there's maybe a couple other spouses that are thinking the same thing, but maybe not.
Could be.
How do you do
what
it?
We're discussing. Go ahead. What we're discussing is there was a period of time a number of years ago where Satan was getting into our subconscious, and there's a portal behind the back of our head. So Lightstar actually figured it out. And what we do now as teammates is we create a subconscious or a shield, a metaplate per se. We use our imagination and we create this thing, and then we put it on the back of our head at night to close off that portal so that spirits and Satan and all that garbage can't get in to give us nightmares or influence us in any way. It's as simple as just picturing it like you would create a rose. You create a plate, and then you just attach it to the back of your head.
Do you ground it and make it clear like you do the roses?
No. You want to make it solid. Okay. Anybody else have anything they want to add?
So you don't ground it.
You want to share how you... Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't need to ground it.
Okay.
I picture it like armor. That's how I've done it. I picture it as a plate of armor or a piece of tin or aluminum or whatever you would imagine, and just slap it on the back of your head, and it's figurative, right? So you're protecting our subconscious. So Father's allowing us however we want to imagine that we're doing it. Starlight said she goes through her library. You know, it's not complicated. I mean, I was making it way too complicated. I was like,
Is it something that you have to remember to remove in the morning?
No.
Okay.
No. I keep mine on all the time.
And one of the
things... But it's up to you.
One of the things we learned, too, and were told, was that you go into the center of your mind, and there's a hidden door in the center of your mind that leads to your subconscious.
I know how to do that.
Okay.
I just didn't know about you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you put it this way, while we're sleeping, we're not conscious. It's open, our subconscious. And what I said ago is that evil figured out how to get in when we were sleeping and didn't really, you know, weren't awake. And so when we go to sleep, we cover it so that it's impenetrable. In the morning, we're awake, and that falls off. Father takes care of that, for sure. And then it's nice that when we think about it the way Starlight does it, she has a screen that is specific so that it only allows, you know, good in and keeps good in and keeps bad out. And so when you think of it that way, then just realize that it's there because our subconscious is part of us. Does that all make sense?
Yep. Thank you.
Any other questions?
And that may bring up just a good point for guardians who are aware of all the things that Dina has to do, maybe to bring your spouses up to speed if you haven't already. I obviously have been slacking in that.
I want a training program written down by our two spouses that like to clean and do work, because that was not found in any of my marriages.
I am more than happy to put that together for you.
upon dating, when I'm healed, I'll just put that in front of them as like a card during the first date and go, how do you feel about this?
Perfect. Here's a quick reference guide to.
Does cleaning bring you peace?
Honestly, I'm Jim. Sorry, Trilin. Jim, I'll use Jim, not Trilin. When it was Jim's turn to do dishes, he didn't like doing them when he was younger. And he would get my mom on the phone with one of my aunts or grandma, and she would just start doing it because unconsciously that's what she did when she was on the phone. And our young Jimmy would leave the room, and then all of a sudden the kitchen would be clean. And it was like, and he had been doing that, and it was very funny. I never knew he was doing it. I'm like, you know, it's just funny. So it was,
and now karma.
Yes.
Karma certainly has come back around. I have done plenty of dishes to get caught up for that.
Yeah. Yes. So that's a hilarious little anecdote that I might lend my little brother used to use. So yeah.
It's a good one.
Now my husband's gonna try that on me.
Yeah. It was amazing. All I had to do was stick a phone in my mom's hand and she was like a machine and I would just fade into nothing. And then later she'd come to me and go, "Wasn't it your turn to do dishes?" Oh, well, thanks, Mom.
All you have to give me is like 2 hours of alone time, and the house will be spotless. That's all I need. All
right.
Oh.
You and my wife could be best friends.
I know. Believe me, I know.
Hey, speaking of getting together, and are we still doing something this year or no? Or is that like...
Yes, we're going to plan something. We'll get details out there. I will discuss it in next month's meeting.
Okay. I just need to know because the family here is willing to bring me up. We just need to make plans, you know. And now that I'm mobile.
Okay. Anybody else have anything else they want to add? We've gone way over. Okay. I asked Tranquility if she would pray. And then our next meeting is Sunday, February 10th at 6:30. Has everybody gotten the invitations I've sent you from our new site?
I just got a reminder email like 5 minutes before the meeting. From Uber Conference, but I don't think I got an email, like a calendar invite specifically.
All right. You might want to check
your calendar.
Go ahead.
I got them a long
time ago. Everybody. Okay.
I got some of them. I got some of them, and I found some of them in spam. That's when I responded to you. Like, oh, I thought there were some months missing. But yeah, and what's nice is once you add it to your Google or your Outlook, it reminds you. It's really nice. I got that email, and then I got a text.
Trilin, did you send out a couple of them that, like, the times changed from, like, 6:30 to 8 instead of 6:30 to 7:30?
I may have because I wasn't sure if it was only going to block me out for an hour. So I made it a 90 minutes because I thought maybe it's going to cut me off after an hour and we're going to lose the recording. So I did restructure it. Go ahead.
I got one that, like, the date changed, I think, in November or something, or March.
I changed it in March, yes. So the second invitation you got for March, which should be, I think, the 17th, is legit.
Okay. Got it. That's what I wanted to know.
Okay. Great. All right. So, Tranquility, if you'd pray, and then I'll pray after you.
Okay. Kind and gracious Father, we come to you and we are so very thankful that not only were we able to enter into your house today and receive the Holy Communion, forgiveness of sins, but we could also meet together as a team. And even though distance separates us, we're all separated by many miles, it is so wonderful that we can still be so closely connected and that we can feel in our hearts how closely connected we are. We're very thankful for each and every one of the support that they have given us in the past, and we know the support that they will continue to give us in the future. And we pray, Father, that our hearts may always be entwined, that we may always burn brightly, that we may share that light that we have within us, and that other people may be able to notice that And dearest Father, that we can also ignite that zeal and that love for you, even if we do not say anything, Father, but by our behavior, by our actions, by what we do. And Father, we are so grateful that we learned a lot about each other today too. And it's nice to know how we share many things in common. And that was a wonderful meeting, and we're thankful for that. Dearest Father, we all have our cares and concerns, and we pray that you will please look out for us, look after us, fill us with your peace and your tranquility, with your love and your joy. And we pray, Father, that we may not judge. That is our greatest concern, that we can always focus on that which is good and positive and pleasing in your sight. Father, you would have every reason to judge all of us. We know that we all have our faults and feelings and our shortcomings. And yet we know that you find the good in us. And we pray that we too may be able to find the good in everyone that we come in contact with, be it our brothers and sisters, or be it our friends and neighbors, those that we may not even know, that we just encounter on the street. Please be kind and gracious in that way, that we may judge less and that we may care and love more. Dearest Father, please be with us for the rest of this week. We also would like to say a special prayer for Danielle. Dearest Father, she has two babies under her heart, and we pray that you will please watch over them. And please also bless her. We know that it is a big concern, and also even health-wise, it is a big strain, and we pray that you may give her the strength that she needs, and also for Atmos too. Continue to abide with each and every one of us. Please continue to be with Tryline, dearest Father, that he may continue to lead us and inspire us and be patient with us. We're so thankful that we have met in this life, and time and again we have to marvel, Father, at how you have arranged things in a most wonderful way. If we had to orchestrate things ourselves, there is no way that we could do it. But you are the greatest of them all, and we are so thankful that we have been able to meet in life and that we can continue to support each other. Please bless us in the week ahead. And Father, we pray now, please, what we may not now have covered in words, please cover by your grace. This we pray and ask you most humbly. We love you, Father. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Father, we come before you and we want to say thank you. You have caused all of us to become friends, but then you took it a step farther and you have made us all family. We have but one common goal, and that is to serve your will, to bring a smile on your face, Father, and that when we complete all the tasks that you have given us, then we can all come home. There have been many things that have been expressed tonight on the hearts of our friends here. Sincere petitions and concerns were shared with each other, and we will pray for one another. We pray that you, Father, will have your heart open, that you will give an ear to those concerns and cares, that a blessing is provided to everybody here who has participated in the call. Even though we've gone a little over, it was nice to hear a little bit about each other, to get a little closer to one another, that we can start building the trust, that the core of this team, Father, can be a firm foundation, that we will start to add other guardians to, that they will see by our example, this is how the core of the team works. We love one another. We support one another. We laugh together. We cry together. We fight together against evil. And commonly together, we will all help mankind. We appreciate all that you provide for us. So much has been asked for. And I know, Father, that you will continue to provide for us in our natural life and our spiritual life. But always, Father, grant us something special in the services that none of us feels that we are starving or that we have been left out. Open the eyes of our leadership, that they understand that what they're doing is not always in line with what you're asking, and give us the strength to keep our mouths shut, that we don't judge, that we don't point a finger, and we don't criticize. You are the only one who has that right. Do we appreciate all that you do for us? Provide a blessing through this week for all of us. If there's someone that's got a physical ailment or a trouble of any kind, that you'll provide strength to bear this for them. According to your will, Father, we serve, and in your name we pray. We love you deeply. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Love
Amen.
All of you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Love
you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.